Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello, Serie A fan! With Kenny away on international duty and Oscar undertaking a ritiro, much like Italy, you're stuck with a new captain for this one. Join us as we discuss the Azzurri's good win on Sunday, some tasty upcoming league fixtures, as well as diving into Milan's implausible and continued injury woes on this episode of Scudetto.
Hello and welcome to Scudetto on what is a quickfire episode this week. Oscar's out preparing for a big international move, so his agents obviously said that he's not allowed to take part in this podcast. While I'm in Lisbon on international friendly duties, so yeah, we're hopefully gonna come through this well. But Boaz, You, I believe, are home and well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Kenny. I got my booster shot earlier this week, so I was a bit under the weather, but now I'm almost invincible.
Perfect. And have you got a beer to boost you further?
Yes, given that it's just the two of us, and given that I haven't had much time to prepare, I've just got a regular Tuborg Red here.
Nice. Right, okay. I have also got a beer here. I mentioned that I was in Lisbon. I've got myself a beer from Porto, which is it's called Cerveja Nortada. And any Portuguese listeners might be laughing right now at how this is not a craft beer, but it claims to be a craft beer. And I have to say that it's very, very tasty. It's their lager, but I think I've basically kind of scorned lagers before on this podcast, or been accused of scorning lagers. But yeah, this one's very, very nice. Got a lot of character, very refreshing, and very, very smooth.
I think that part of the joy of being abroad is also getting to taste new beers that you wouldn't get to taste otherwise.
Yeah, it's great. I'm going to see if I can somehow get my hands on some Portuguese craft beers when I get back to sunny Scotland. Right, we are... as I mentioned, we are going to be doing sort of a quick fire edition this week. Obviously, there was that glorious third and fourth place playoff in the Nations League between Italy and Belgium. So I guess that's probably the best place to start, boys. Italy running out 2-1 winners, victorious against the Belgians again. And obviously, along with this, Italy leapfrogging England to go fourth in UEFA's rankings. Boaz, did you catch the game? What did you make of it? And I guess to ask the question Oscar asked last week, do we now care about the Nations League?
This is the third week this question gets asked in a row. And I think that we do care. I mean, Italy and Belgium put on quite a spectacle. And despite Courtois' laments, I think the game had its had value and had some merit. And crucially, as you mentioned, Italy moved up in the ranking, although Belgium are inexplicably top of the ranking forever, despite always losing in tournaments. But I thought it was a good game, and I thought Italy gave a good account of themselves. And as usual, Federico Chiesa was outstanding. I think you said this last week or the week before, but we're starting to run out of words on ways to describe Chiesa, because he really is a big game player, and he always seems to be the guy who's not only one of the most talented people on the pitch, but also one of the guys who's most willing to run his socks off. So kudos to him.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, I think while Italy seemed to have a slight issue up front, which has been discussed, and even without Immobile, I think even with Immobile back, there needs to be some alternatives up front. Italy's true strength is undeniably in the midfield, where there's such a great set of options, including players who weren't in the team this time around, like Tonali, for example. But it looks like that area of the pitch, at least, is very well stacked for years to come. Top of them all is Barella, who, of course, scored a great goal against Belgium again, but and also put on a performance that apparently had some Newcastle shakes turn their interest in him. So, as I said, I thought it wasn't a pointless game, and it's nice to finish this tournament with a win. And also, it was quite pleasant to have Wednesday off as opposed to most other nations this week.
Yeah, of course. But obviously, big games coming up in November, as I believe we discussed on last week's episode.
Sorry for interrupting. I made such a big deal of Donnarumma last week that I really have to mention him again this week, as opposed to last week where the San Siro Stadium booed him throughout. This for the Belgian game, the Turin crowd applauded him. I think this is it's easy for them to applaud him because they secretly want to make him a Juventus player in the future. And it's slightly rich from Juventus to claim some sort of moral ground, given that their fans did boo Bonucci on his return to the stadium in 2018 once he'd signed for Milan. But having said that, Donnarumma put on a classic Donnarumma performance, a few big saves, a couple of inexplicable flaps, and then he left his legs so wide open that Rebic was making jokes about it for the Belgian goal. So, this is par for course for him, and I think that, as I said in the past, and I'll try not to mention it again, he's doing very well, but he's got a lot to grow as a man and as a player.
Yeah. I mean, he's really hasn't, in this international break, than people like Oscar and myself, who have been, I guess, jumping to defense that many favors. Certainly hasn't covered himself in glory yet throughout, but yeah, he's young, and
considering the fact that he won the best player at the Euro trophy, and this was brought up as a response to the things I was saying, I have to think that he wasn't even the best keeper at the Euro. That will go to the Swiss keeper, who made a lot more saves. Donnarumma, Italy conceded 5 shots on target, of which 4 were goals in that tournament. So I mean, you could look at these stats in many different ways. I'm a fan of Donnarumma the player. I think he's going to be a fantastic goalkeeper for Italy for years to come. But once more, he's not the finished article, and he's prone to making a few mistakes, more so than many of his colleagues, including Keylor Navas.
Oof. Okay. I mean, normally I'd come back at you on that one. But no, I mean, you're right. He's not the finished article, quite clearly. I still think absolutely huge potential, really. But we have to move on. We have to move on to speak about this weekend's big fixtures. It's difficult. I was saying this to you before we started recording. Difficult to pick the big game of this week. But probably, I mean, it's between Juve, Roma, and Lazio Inter, obviously. Probably, I don't know, probably Juve, Roma, to be honest. Morata, obviously, expected to be back for this. Tammy Abraham is a huge injury doubt for Roma, apparently they're trying to kind of strap him together to get him out for it. How do you see this game going? They're two teams, you know, in different veins of form. Roma obviously started very well under Mourinho and have had some disappointing results heading into the international break. Juve were kind of the opposite, obviously in the bottom, in the relegation zone, and then have kind of started to look a bit more like the Allegri Juve that we kind of remembered. How do you see this game going? What are your expectations for it?
Firstly, I was quite tickled by the fact that Tammy Abraham apparently has been telling his England teammates that he is the king of Rome. So I like the fact that he's just arrived, but he's already settled so well and he's feeling confident. But with regards to picking a result or even a winner from this game, it's a very hard one. Usually I'd lean towards Juve, but just because of their the fact that statistically they are more likely to win this game. But this season is quite unpredictable. And as you mentioned earlier, Juventus started with a little bit of a hiccup. Roma started firing on all cylinders and then kind of stumbled along the way. And now they meet each other. I think my biggest takeaway from this game is that it's Allegri versus Mourinho once again, and they have priors. There's they had a couple of jabs at each other in the past, and I think that's going to be exciting per se. And I'm definitely looking forward to the post match comments, particularly as Allegri has been in the media in Italy quite often in the last week due to some extracurricular activity with his former girlfriend and the way he broke up with her. I don't think that's really that interesting for this podcast, but I wouldn't be surprised if Mourinho chose to bring this up at some point.
Yeah, you wouldn't put past him, really, would you? And I wasn't sure where to go next with that, because there is obviously a manager element to Napoli-Torino, but I think we're going to go to Lazio-Inter, Mourinho's previous side, obviously.
There's a management element here too, because it's essentially Simone Inzaghi returning to Lazio for the first time. And it will be interesting to see how the Lazio fans, and in particular the Lazio Ultras, welcome him. To be honest, I wouldn't expect there to be too much ill feeling towards him from the fans, because it did feel like he wanted to stay and was kind of pushed out by Lotito. But yet again, it's a clash of two different football styles. And while both managers are new at their clubs, it's perhaps Sarri who has a little bit more work to do, because Inter kind of had a similar setup to what Inzaghi likes to play. Having said that, I think Lazio are the home team, and as you said in the past episode, Inter have been far from convincing in some of their recent outings, especially in Europe, but also in the league they've had to come back several times, and Lazio occasionally do turn it on. So I probably say I'm a little bit more for Lazio in this game, but another one of these great ties that is hard to call.
Yeah, and obviously, I mean, Inter are going to be without quite a few players returning from South America again. We mentioned this on after the last international break. Obviously, Correa, the other X that we were expecting to see line up for Inter, but he is obviously a huge doubt coming back from international duty late for this one, along with Lautaro. And Alexis Sanchez, Vidal, Vecino, I can kind of see that there is something in this, and that I can kind of see Lazio potentially sneaking it, really. But you never know. I mean, the thing with Inter has been over these years that when you think that they're most likely to drop points has been when they haven't, and they tend to kind of drop points where you wouldn't perhaps expect them. But yeah, obviously really, really excited for that game. And the other big one that we've picked out, which is a Sunday game, is Napoli-Torino. And Juric at one point, if memory serves, was rumoured to be in line to take over at Napoli. Obviously that didn't happen. But Torino have really, really started to kind of look like a Juric side, haven't they, in recent weeks. Napoli obviously defending that unbeaten record. I think it's difficult to look past Napoli really in this one. But do you think Juric's Torino could spring a surprise, or are you expecting Napoli to continue racking up those 3 points?
I expect Torino to offer something different to what Napoli have faced so far in the season. I think we all know that he has his sides run ragged. Against Juventus, that was actually their downfall, because ultimately it looked like they ran out of gas a little bit. As you said, I expect Napoli to continue their incredible win streak. But as with any streak, the longer it goes, the harder it is to hold on to it, and the more hungry the opposition team get. But I think at the Diego Maradona Stadium, Napoli are close to a guaranteed 3 points.
Yeah. I'd agree with that. Obviously, Napoli's biggest challengers, the team of your heart, Milan. So, I mean, Joe Jordan was in the paper saying some nice words about, obviously, this is one of his, these are two of his ex-teams, Milan and Verona, lining up against each other. Milan have themselves, we mentioned Inter having sort of you know, a crisis of players coming back from international duty. I mean, that's a nice crisis to have if you're a Milan fan, because Milan have got players who aren't coming back from international duty. Maignan obviously out. It's been reported until 2022, possibly. And Theo Hernandez, who, despite having been fully vaccinated against COVID-19, has tested positive. So, how are you feeling there? I mean, obviously, there's just an injury crisis that keeps on going at Milan.
Every time the official AC Milan app gives me a push notification, my heart skips a beat. I don't know what's going to happen. And they tend to pick like a lot of exclamation marks and stuff. So the last one was Theo Hernandez exclamation mark exclamation mark exclamation mark. And then once you open the story, he's got COVID. It's not brilliant. But as you said, it's not the best way to prepare a match against Verona. I think Milan have done very well in the past season or so in coping with injuries and rotating players. It's well documented that neither Giroud nor Ibrahimovic have been on the pitch much, but I think that in this case, with Mike Maignan and Theo Hernandez being out, these are big losses and players that don't necessarily have a natural replacement. Milan, of course, rushed to the market and purchased Mirante, partly because he put on a stellar performance against Milan last season at San Siro, I believe. It was very frustrating in a 3-3 game. But let's face it, the way Iron Mike has been playing so far this season, any keeper would be a downgrade to him. So I'm very apprehensive. With regards to the left-back situation, it looks like Davide Calabria will be jumping over to the other side. And that guy's played pretty much everywhere for Milan except for in goal so far. So it's not the greatest, and with a Champions League tie against Porto coming up in the midweek as well, it's really bad timing. And as you said, there, Maignan, he had his surgery this week, and in the worst of cases, he'll be back in 12 weeks. In the best of cases, it'll be 6 to 8 weeks. So in any case, he's going to miss quite a lot of games, and it's unfortunate because he's really set himself apart so far this season. And perhaps Serie A will be decided because of the keepers, because we've had Jerzy Dudek making mistakes here and there. Now Milan are going to be without a key keeper. Andanovic has made mistakes. So maybe this might be an overarching theme for the whole season.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke before the Atalanta Milan game, or just afterwards, about the sort of two best keepers, or two of the best keepers. Certainly, I think James Horncastle, actually, on British television, was speaking about how he believed they were the two best keepers in Serie A coming face to face. I think after that game, we can have to say that Maignan took that crown after that game. So a huge, huge, huge blow. But we're just going to move on very, very swiftly to best of the rest. And like Theo Hernandez, Spezia's Reca has tested positive for COVID-19. So it's obviously something that kind of, We're not past yet. But what can you do? You've just got to kind of roll with it, really, I think, is the best that clubs can do at the moment. And I think you had actually mentioned before we started recording that Serie A had announced that sort of 98% of players in the league were vaccinated against COVID. So, you know, even with that, not out of the woods yet. Moving on, Lazio have, like Inter, announced that they have a new cryptocurrency sponsor, although theirs is not in-house with Binance. And obviously we've got to talk, it's all too frequent that we speak about this. More depressing news on just where football is at the moment with Man United and Sweden under 21 player Anthony Elanga, who has alleged that he was racially abused by Mazzurini, an Italy under 21 player, in their 1-1 draw when Sweden snatched a late draw in that game. So more depressing news, although I think, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think the Italian, that Fijici have kind of rebuke this, and they're kind of contesting it.
Yeah, the Fijici said they were seeking legal action against this claim, and I mean, regardless, it's not a good look. And I long for the day when we stop speaking about these things.
Yeah, yeah. You and me both. You and me both. Right, let's try and move on to some more sort of upbeat notes as we move into our honorables and dishonorables section this week. So I'm going to start with an honorable for Maria Sole Ferrieri Caputi, who is to become only the second woman to officiate a Serie B match when she takes on Cittadella versus Spal. Boaz, you've got a rather spooky, I'm guessing this is a dishonorable here for Napoli.
I mean, it will be a dishonorable if once we see it, but I'm guessing, but essentially Napoli, who are producing their own shirts, of course, this year, will be showing off their six different shirts of the season when they launch a special Halloween kit for the, I believe it's for the following weekend, not this one. And they have a strange countdown going down on their social media. I mean, as I said, once I see it, I'll judge it, but it doesn't sound too good.
Yeah, although with Emporio Armani involved in the on the kit side, perhaps it might not actually be as bad as you fear, if forgive the pun. So we have to speak about Lazio because we spoke about Lazio a lot last season about their plane deal, which caused all sorts of rifts between Lotito and Luis Alberto. So I'm just giving it a mention here. I think I'm going to give it an honorable in the Lotito has seen sense and that Lazio have decided not to renew this deal for, you know, for hiring the plane for the team, which obviously was timed interestingly when it was announced with players not being paid their wages. So yeah, that's I think an honourable with Lotito seeing sense. Boaz, we have got, I'm not sure, it's a double something for Donnarumma. Is it an honourable? Is it dishonourable? Is it partially honourable, partially dishonourable? Certainly, looking at your notes, I think part of it has to be honourable. But I'll let you take it from here.
Having gone on a slight rant about Gigio earlier, I feel that to bring our fans closer, the fans of Donnarumma closer to us, I must recant quickly. And I want to give the young keeper honourable for being Italy's youngest captain since 1965, when he took the armband in Turin this weekend versus Belgium. So good on him. And also, I will give him an honourable. The Italian TV show Le Iene showed up to Donnarumma and they kind of gave him one of those fake tattoos with the AC Milan logo on it. And I mean, he was game and he claims that he will get the crest, the actual crest with a real tattoo on his body. It's good to know that he still loves Milan, although I doubt the feeling is mutual.
Yeah, and I would just interject and say that will no doubt endear him to Juve fans if that does if that move does materialize.
And all this while his agent is taking shots at the Milan management, the Milan ownership, etc. So, I mean, those two should really get their message on point before they speak to the media because it's a little bit confusing.
Yeah, it is all sorts of things being raised, like the fact that Donnarumma could have been sold for apparently 118 million euros or something. But yeah, obviously nothing like that happened. Right, still on the theme of tattoos, quick honourable for Di Lorenzo and Insigne, who've got Euro 20 tattoos that look pretty smart, not matching, but obviously they'll be matching in the Napoli kit, so honourable there for me.
Yeah, the Di Lorenzo one looked nice, particularly nice.
Yeah, it does. And Boaz, Materazzi.
I mean, Materazzi is a World Cup 2006 hero. Without him, Italy wouldn't have won that tournament. So he does have a place in my heart. But when that guy opens his mouth, oh my God. This week, he made the weird claim. Basically, Lilian Thuram made a very sound statement about racism in Italy and racism in football in general. And Materazzi's takeaway from this was, I am against racism, but Thuram never left the pitch when fans chanted calling me a son of a bitch. This is discrimination for white people, black people, and for the son of a bitch. I mean, I don't even know where to start with this. The fact that he equates someone insulting him personally with a problem that's widespread and affects many people is just so misguided. And I mean, the fact that even if he thinks this, the fact that he thinks it's a good idea to go to press with this is just so idiotic.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. How badly can you miss the mark, I guess? And we're just going to finish up, Buzz, with, I'm assuming this is an honorable, for Roma youngster Nikola Zalewski.
Roma youngster Nikola Zalewski, who's actually got a couple games this season under Mourinho, and it looked like Mourinho had taken him under his wing, made a faux pas this week.
I mean, you call it that. It's a bit more than that.
When his friend, rapper Zep Dembo, posted a story on Instagram where basically he was shouting, "Mourinho, we're gonna go snort." So I mean,
yeah.
I don't know what I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in the training ground the next day when poor Nicola had to show up, but not a good look for a professional sportsman, and definitely not a good look for someone who was actually starting to break into the team. So naughty award for him.
Yes, of course. I was being somewhat facetious there. Perfect. So, I mean, that's it for us this week. That's all we've got time for in this quickfire episode. So, yeah, I just want to say thank you very much to everyone for tuning in. Obviously, as Oscar mentions every week, please do subscribe to us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your audio. And until next week, enjoy the football. Che sta decretando lo scudetto del Milan in questo preciso istante. Finita! La Juventus è campione d'Italia questa data, il 6 maggio. Tutto anticipo, la Roma è campione d'Italia per la stagione 2000-2001. Il titolo del 2008, l'Inter è campione d'Italia, 16° scudetto della squadra. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.